The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Well, did you bring your Bible this morning? Amen. I feel like preaching a little bit. Let me have my Bible stand down here, Curtis. Praise the name of the Lord. We're in the book of Ephesians this morning in chapter 4. I'm going to be using the Amplified Bible this morning, and so I think we'll have the Amplified up on the screen there. But you can follow along in whatever translation that you enjoy and like, and we'll give God thanks for it. I just felt today, I felt like that we should once again do a little expository teaching. And that's where we would take a chapter and instead of giving, you know, creating the subject and then finding four or five scriptures through the scriptures that go with that, we should do it really. This is the best way to build an understanding of the Word of God, because this is how it was given to whom it was given. This was a letter to the church at Ephesus. Paul the apostle went there, just like Pastor Rick's going to go where he's going to go, and he's going to plant a church, right? This church is here because we planted this work. My ministry, as it were, goes back in this city to 1987. We planted a work here. We started as a seed. We started in the beginning. We started with just a couple families. That's what Rick's going to do. He's going to, you know, he's going to find people. He's going to obey God, throw the net out. When we started, I didn't know you. You didn't know me. But people began to show up once you began to obey God. That's what, and the Apostle Paul did the same thing. So we're in good company, Pastor Rick. Paul did the same thing. He went to the city called Ephesus. It's one of the cities in what's now Turkey. It's one of the churches, and he planted that work. He started with nobody. He started with just a vision from God. He started with a calling, but he started with a message that burned in his heart. And we read that message. We read that message in his story in Acts chapter 9, and then it's repeated again in Acts chapter 26. That when Paul said, that he begins to tell his story, that in my past, that I hated the church. I was a man of the law. I was a Jewish, like a Jewish rabbi, a leader of the Jews, a teacher of the law. And I felt like that the people that were of the Christian faith, that were turning their life over to Christ, that they were against the law. And that God then was against them. And Paul, this is how he started his church. And Paul said, because of that, I had a great zeal for the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so I zealously went after these that were trying to convert people away from the law and come to Christ. And when I found them, I would, if there was a church meeting, if there were a gathering of people that were believing in Christ, I would shut that church down, and I would either throw the believers of Christ in prison, or at times we would execute them. And he felt good about saying that. He was excited about what he was doing. And in fact, he was the man that called for the execution of Stephen, the deacon, when they stoned Stephen, and Paul consented to it and held their coats. And Paul's the one that brought the charges against him. This is how he planted his church. But he said, but one day, while I was doing that, I was closing down the churches. I was assailing the Christians. I was persecuting the Christians. He said, I was on the road back to Damascus in Syria. And he said, but at noonday, all of a sudden, while the light of the sun was at its highest peak in the sky, He said, at noonday I saw a light that was brighter than the light that came from the natural sun, the sky. And he said, that light blinded me. And he said, that light knocked me off my horse. And out of that light I heard a voice. I saw no man, but out of that light a voice spoke. And that voice said to me and called me by name and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I said to him, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. You see, while Saul was persecuting the church, Jesus said it was him that he was really persecuting. Amen. Because those people that you are assailing, they are part of me now. Amen. And it's a long story, but that was how Paul started his church. He told his story of how Christ has encountered his life. I pray, God, that we may not be the biggest and the best and have all the programs and all the resources, etc. But I pray that you can see, at least in my life, that we have a pastor, that God encountered him. Amen. I wasn't on the road to Damascus, but I was at a party on the west side of Cincinnati. And I got encountered by the living God. And I mean, when I went outside and I knelt down, I was encountered and I saw my own light. And Christ revealed himself to me that night. And I saw something that impacted my life, encountered my life. It's the reason that I'm zealous today. It's the reason that I'm happy today. It's the reason I have a purpose in my life today. It's the reason I have something to say today. And that's what we're doing. We're telling the story that Christ wants to encounter all men everywhere. And God's got a plan for us all. Can I hear amen? Amen. And Paul the apostle began to get, as he was called by God, he was an apostle. An apostle means he's sent by God. See, we got to decide, and this is a challenge for us as the planters of the churches. Are we just going, or are we sent by God? I'm glad that Pastor Rick, he didn't want to just go. He wants to be sent. Can I hear amen? And I believe that God sent me in 1987 to this city. After being sending me elsewhere, but he sent me here with an assignment. Paul the apostle that was changed and converted. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is when it works. It's when you believe God sent you. See, I've never just gone to a church. I've been sent by God. Everything I've done, I've tried to do it under the sending arm of Jesus. And say, I'm not just going to go. No, I'm not just here. I'm not just showing up because it's around the corner. God sent me here. When I went to the little church, I got saved. And we went to the little church out in the country at Williamsburg, Ohio. And I got there, and I was a hippie back then, and I'd come out of the drug culture, I'd come out of rock music, and all that kind of stuff, but I got sent, I got guided and sent by God to a little church with people that weren't like me. There was 25 or 30 little Pentecostals in that church where I went. I've told you the story, you know, we had a radio, it was a one-room church, and we had a Radio Shack sound system, this cheap little thing, and they were playing what I call twang twang music that had nothing to do with any music I ever liked in my life. And I didn't like the twang twang music. But I tell you what, when I walked in that church, I knew that God Almighty had sent me there. And here's why he sent me there. He didn't send me there because they had music I liked. See, you got to get over this. This is about me and my feely what I like. And it's just, it wasn't about what I liked. It was about where I was sent. That's what it was about. Where did God Almighty, where did He send me? That's what it's about. Where did He send me? What did He send me to do? That's why every ministry leader under this ministry, you better not just be doing what you're doing because somebody asked you to do it. You better stand in that position and say, I know that I know that I know. I know today that God sent me. God sent me to do what I'm doing today. It makes you want to do it with some zeal. It makes you want to invite others to get a part of it. Because you know this, that I'm not just here representing myself. God sent me here. God sent me to do this. You know, my little ministry, this is a, talk about humble beginnings. We were at this little Pentecostal church nobody knew about on the wrong side of the tracks. And so they didn't have any youth group or anything like that. There was a few teenagers, and so we became the youth pastors. And what the youth group consisted of was here was the youth group. Pastor Crabb had a Volkswagen, and Pastor Crabb would most of these kids live way out in the country, and they didn't have any way to get to a youth meeting. We didn't have a cool youth room with all kinds of, you know, games and fun stuff and lights. That's why people tell, I've gone to hire youth pastors before, and they'll want to go see the youth room. And if you don't have a really cool youth room, they'll tell you you can't build a really cool youth group. I said, I got called and I got saved. I got sent to kids, man, and I used to take my little Volkswagen, and the beginning of the youth group was Sarah and I driving out through the country, putting kids where we could find them and putting them in my Volkswagen and bringing them to the youth group. And the youth group was in my little one-room apartment when we first got married in Mount Orab, Ohio, man. And I don't know if we had the coolest lighting in there. I doubt it. And I know we didn't have the cool music because I can't play anything. But I'll tell you what we had. We had two young people, Jim and Sarah Crabb, that knew that they'd encountered a Christ on the road, their own Damascus. And I knew this. I knew that God had sent me to that church. And now God has called me to do this. And so I asked God's blessing over what I was doing. I'm telling you, you better believe that God said. See, if you don't just do that, you're just on your own. You're just floating through life, man. You got to get the God sent me thing back in your heart, in your life. God sent me. Say out loud, God sent me. God called me. God sent me. God called me, see, and God sent me. God called me. Then God sent me. God called me, and then God sent me. I remember the first time I met Tim Murgard. I was preaching at Jesus Over the Rhine, this big campaign we used to do downtown in the inner city. And we'd feed thousands of people and have an all-day thing back there. That was back in the 80s. And I'd been preaching somewhere else, and somehow I had to fly to Indianapolis, and I was on at like 4:00. I was going to preach, and I had time. They just ran me out of the Indianapolis airport, threw me in a car, and drove like crazy to get back. But when I got back, I rolled up downtown. There was thousands of people out there. I mean, thousands of people. And we'd been working the streets and feeding and preaching the gospel all over town with Brother Wade Thomas, who was Tim's friend. And I literally rolled while the car was still rolling. I threw the back door open and jumped out of that car and ran because the guy was introducing me before the car was stopped. And I ran up on that, it was like a truck thing. And I jumped up on that platform And I started doing what I'm doing now. I started telling the story of what Christ had done for my life. And then I met, through that, I met Tim and Ronnie and their family. And from the time I met them, then they started showing up at the church, and they came because they said God sent them. God sent them. God sent them. I could just go around the room and tell you all our God sent stories. But I want to challenge you today. If you don't know where God sent you, it's time you found out. Because you got to know that God sent you. And if he sent you, you better act like the Apostle Paul did. You better, see, that's why Paul made a good church planter, because not only was he zealous when he was tearing the churches down, he got zealous about starting them back up again. And I'm telling you, man, some of you have lost the fire of God sent me. God sent me. When you know that God sent you, you go through hell and hardship. When you know that God sent you, you don't care what anybody else thinks about it. When you know God sent you, you do it by yourself, and I have. When you know God sent you, you stand up against every critic. When you know God sent you, you stand up against apathy. You look apathy in the eye, and you dare it to raise its ugly voice. When you know God sent you. When you know God sent you. You have to know that God sent you. I'll tell you, the devil will make sure he'll run you away from it. And don't you let that happen. Paul the apostle was sent to Ephesus to plant a church where there was no church. He says in verse 1, he says, I therefore, in the Amplified Version, we got that? Yeah, thank you. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. What was he? Say it out loud. The prisoner of the Lord. What's that mean? Why would he say he's a prisoner? Because he was a prisoner by choice. He was a slave, an imprisoned one. You know, when you go to jail, you don't get up when you want to get up. I never been in jail, but I have some friends that have. Don't I, Bob? I mean, Bob's heard all about Beth's stories of when she was in prison. Now, no. You know, you didn't get up when you wanted to, did you? You didn't get to run around, just do whatever you want to do, because you're a prisoner. You belong to the system then. You didn't get to eat and have carry out and all that kind of stuff what you wanted to. You're imprisoned. You become really the property. That's why you got a number on your back. You remember your number?
0279-3032.
Because you know why? That's good. Because that became his identity. He wasn't Bob Ward. He was
02793-032.
Exactly right. That's who he was. You know why? Because he belonged to them. When Paul planted this church at Ephesus, he started out he planted that church, and then he's somewhere else, but he's writing them back a letter. And he had a pastor that was there. He was sent to plant the church, and he says, I therefore, I am, and Paul could have put his own spiritual number there. Mine would have been, I hope it would have been 777777. That's God's number, you know. 777777. I am the prisoner of the Lord. What happened to the people when you get saved? What happened to us becoming prisoners of His? Where we become His prisoner. We belong to Him now. Lord, what do you want? Lord, what time do I get up today? Lord, what time do I eat today? That's just natural stuff. Lord, what time do I go to bed today? Where can I go? What are the bounds of my life? They had boundaries on when you're in prison, you have boundaries. What are the bounds? What can I do and not do? Well, you do whatever we tell you to do, and you do it whenever we tell you to do it, and you don't have any option. Paul said, with a smile on his face, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. I want to challenge some of you. I'm talking to some people this morning. I want to challenge you today that you are God's prisoner. That when Christ redeemed you, he bought you and called you into his own purposes and plans. And the question isn't, what do you want to do today? The question never goes that way. God doesn't ask us that. We ask him every day, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go today? Where am I sent today? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. I appeal, he's writing to his church family. And he said, I appeal and beg you to walk and lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Woo! My God, he said, I am the prisoner of the Lord, and I beg you and appeal to you, lead a life that's worthy of that divine calling. Some of us act like we treat our jobs better than we do our service to the King. We treat church like it's just church. It's like this is second-rate stuff. I want to tell you, the biggest thing you'll ever do in your life is what you do for Christ. The biggest and the best thing you'll ever do in your life is your service to the King that you're a prisoner to. I'm telling you, the most joy you'll ever have is finding where you're sent and serving with a smile on your face. He said, I beg you to walk a life that's worthy of the divine calling that you've been called with a behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, humility, and meekness, unselfishness, and gentleness, and mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances because you love one another. I just heard a bunch of flesh scream, I don't like this prison here, man. That's powerful, isn't it? This is the apostle of the church beseeching them. This is how you should live now. Be humble. Don't be arrogant. Don't be proud. With lowliness of mind and meekness and an unselfish and gentle and mild way and patient. How many know you're dealing with human beings? You're going to have to be patient, man. Bearing with one another and making allowances because you love one another. You know how many the people that deal with me and have loved me, every one of them has had to make allowances for me. Because we're all marred and we're born. We have, even though we're born again, we have flaws. They make allowances for my shortcomings. And then God uses them, the ones that stay with me. They'll bear with me for a long time. And then they'll make allowances for and make a place for. And then they'll do everything they can to love me through my mars and the flaws that are in my life. I'm preaching to somebody this morning, myself. Be eager. And strive earnestly and guard to keep the harmony and oneness of that is produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. In other words, that should be a natural outflow of us. We're peacemakers, man. We bring reconciliation. We do our best never to bring division and cracks. There is, remember this, he's saying, there is one body and one Spirit. Just as there's one hope that belongs to the calling you received. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There is one God and Father of us all, who is above all, sovereign over all, pervading all, and living in us all. Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. You know, you know why God's will for me has already been answered about how much grace and mercy to show? Because of how much I received in my life, how much He gave me. You know why? There is no option to how many people I forgive when they wrong me. There's no option to how fast I get over it. Because then when I measure that against how He dealt with me, you don't understand how much mercy I needed. Well, maybe you do. You've been sitting under me for a while. You're making allowances for me. You know how much mercy I needed? All the mercy that I demanded for God to interact with me, the mercy that was demanded, even though He knew I was guilty, even though I'd done it myself and been self-willed, and the grace that dealing with me demanded of Him. I want to thank God today that He was so bountiful to me. Therefore, I then should be over bountiful to others and make allowances for them. I'm just glad I didn't get kicked off the team because I had a flaw or two or made some mistakes. I'm glad. I mean, if He was giving out pink slips, He could have given me mine a long time ago, because I've been a less than perfect apostle and pastor. He made allowances for me, and therefore we should make allowances for them. Therefore it is said, when He ascended on high, He led a train of vanquished foes. And then He bestowed gifts on men. But He ascended. Now what can this "He ascended" mean but that He had previously descended from the heights of heaven into the depths in the lower parts of earth? Christ is raised from the dead, but if He raised up, He also came down. And I want you to know how far He came down. He left what He was in heaven as the Word of God, the eternal Creator of all things, and became one of us. He who descended is the very same as He who has also ascended on high above the heavens, that His presence might fill all things, the whole universe, from the lowest to the highest. Remember when He led captivity captive, and then He gave gifts unto men. Now He's going to describe those gifts. So that's why I love the gifts of God in the church, because it's part of what Christ gave us. When He raised from the dead, part of the grace and the power that He gave us is He gave us gifts to help what? To help perfect us, make us better. That's why I think, I just don't think you ought to ever forget all the gifts in your life that God put in your life to help you get better. You just, we got to remember those that have helped us in our life. And say thanks to them every once in a while. Send him a gift. Send him a blessing. I'm not saying that for me. I'm talking to say me backwards. I don't know if I have been a blessing, but if I know somebody sowed into your life to get you here. And when you got here, I'm reaping the benefits. Let's just use Sister Pitts. How many years you been here, Sister Pitts? I don't know. A few years, 5 or 6 years, about 5 or 6 years. But before that, she was part of a church, and she and Lynn were, you know, and they were planted in that church. And I, you know, and this is you know, and then Lynn went through physical battles, a lot of changes in their life, et cetera, et cetera. And he's receiving his healing today by the grace of God. God's going to help him. He's going to totally recover from that stroke, man. But Sister Pitts started coming here. But you know, one of my I listen good. One of my favorite things about Sister Pitts, first, I have a lot of things about her. Number one, she gets me. She gets what I preach. Sometimes when you guys look with that puzzled look on her face, I find Sister Pitts, she gets it. She gets me. She gets me. That may be because she's as crazy as I am, but she gets me. She gets it, man. And she'll tell me a lot of times, you know, she's one of the administrators, teachers at Cincinnati Christian School. She'll say, Pastor, I'm going to preach that tomorrow. Or she'll tell me, I preached that the other day. So I'm honored about that. But here's, I like that about her. She makes it fun to preach. Huh? But one of my favorite things about her is I listen to her, and someday she'll call or she'll leave me a message and say, Pastor, I won't be there Sunday. We're going back to the other church, the pastor that we had for all those years where Lynn and I were together. And I'm going to take Lynn. You know, it's hard to get him anywhere. And I'm going to take him back, and we're going to go back to that church. You know, I'm not concerned about that. I'm saying that's what to do, sister. You honor those that put into your life. Because just like we believe we're sent from God, Jesus, when he raised from the dead, he took gifts. I don't understand how Jesus can take a flawed, marred gift, a flawed, marred person, and then put a divine gift on that person. I don't understand that. And yet work through that person in spite of his mars, in spite of his flaws. That's what happens, though. And you need to see, that's why you got to believe that you're sent. You got to believe that God has in your life gifts. See, that's why I like Pastor Rick. That's why I'm behind what he's doing. Because he got connected with me in 1987. He's never been not connected from me. Whether he's pastoring his own church, he remembered that by God's grace somehow, maybe in the past I was able to help his life, man. See, the gifts are not just gifts that, so, like emotional personality gifts. These are divine gifts. I could tell the difference when I was talking to my pastor, was Pastor Jerry. There, all of a sudden, Pastor Jerry would leave off during a service when he was preaching the word. And all of a sudden, that's not Pastor Jerry standing there right now. That's the gift of God. That's the anointed gift of God. That's God shaping the man, shaping me right now. That's God reaching in there. That I'm talking about back in the 70s years ago when God said, I need you in the 2000s. I need you to blaze a trail, man of God. So I got to work in you. I got to use this man in the 70s so that you can be something in the 2000s. And God would use Pastor, the pastor gift in him to shape and mold my life. I hear the story of Tim telling his little pastor, Pastor White. He's told me the story of how Pastor White shaped his life in a small little congregation. This drug addict, but God got a hold of him. So you gotta look at those gifts, whoever's got them, and you gotta see God. You gotta know that's God gave him that gift. When Jesus raised from the dead, this is all part of Ephesians 4 here. His gifts, he gave gifts to men. His gifts were varied. In other words, they're all different. He himself appointed and gave men to us. Who did? He himself did. Who appointed? Who appointed that guy that now is a pastor? That now is an evangelist? That now is a prophet? Who appointed him? The Bible says right here, Jesus said he did. Jesus appointed him. And Jesus sent him into the earth to bless the people that were part of the body of Christ. That's what he did. He himself appointed and gave men to us. He gave some to be apostles, special messengers. Some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders. Some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries. And some pastors or shepherds of his flock and teachers. In other words, he gave different gifts to different men. Now we know even men that have the same gift don't administer the gift exactly the same way. That's why there's so much diversity in the body of Christ. His intention, though, see, you got to know what's behind why you need a pastor, why you need a prophet in your life. Why? That's why we bring Dr. Barclay. That's why we have an evangelist. That's why we have teachers. His intention, see, this will help you. This is why you come to church. His intention, you know, if I only had gone to church during the years of my life when I felt like it, I guarantee you, or whenever, or when I was pretty sure the people that really bugged me were all out of town that weekend. No, I'd go because I really believed. I believed that every church service, I believed that God was going to come. And God was going to use one of those gifts. And God was going to flow and God was going to work through those gifts and God was going to shape my life. Here's why. See, that's a difference in, you know, I know cultures changed and the casualness of culture. And there was a time, man, I loved the suits and ties and everything and I got them. And But we can't get casual about what we're doing here. There is an intention. His intention in giving those gifts was to perfect. See, that's why one guy said, God so loved me that he gave me 5 gifts just to perfect me. All the men in my life that have crossed my life have been in my life to perfect my life, to improve my spiritual walk. Was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, so that it, Christ's body, might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and then the comprehension and the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God so that we might arrive at real mature manhood. The completeness, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. You know, when I read that, what I say, I don't need less church, I need more church. If that's what his intention was, I don't need less of this, I need more of this. Because if the standard is the standard height of Christ's own perfection, that became the measure. That became the measuring rod. He's trying to get us to grow up and be like Christ. Therefore, i.e., the Imago Dei. That's why we're here. That's his intention this morning. Not to waste your time. Not to waste your time. Not to just get your money. But to grow you up. So that you can be in the measure of Christ. And so that then you're strong enough to turn around and minister to the body of Christ and strengthen the entire body of Christ. Somebody shout amen, amen. And amen. So then, may we no longer be children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery, in inventing errors to mislead. Here's one of the greatest reasons you need a teaching shepherd is because there are people that are scheming to lead you into error. With all my moths and flaws, I can tell you this, that the gift of God in me will do everything I can to keep you out of error. I will not allow us to get into heresy. I will not allow us to get in the ditch in one way or another way. I won't do it. I'll stand up. I have done it. I'll stand up against deceivers. I'll stand up against heretics. I don't care if they're great preachers. I don't care if they could give millions of dollars to the church. No, it's God's will for us to grow up the church and keep us safe from error and being misled. Let me tell you something today. Your biggest challenge is not from Washington, D.C. and who the president is. Your biggest challenge is not in an economic way. Your biggest challenge is staying on the rock and having the right gifts of God in your life to keep you from error. And I want to tell you today that we're going to stay pure. It's not that I've never had to correct anything I ever believed, but I'll tell you this, you have a pastor that I have enough integrity that when I need to correct it, I'm not embarrassed about it. I'm not ashamed of it. We'll make shifts, but I've never had to shift anything in a real big way. You know why? Because we're staying with what brung us, man. We're staying with the cross. We're staying with the blood. We're staying with the power of God. We're staying with the resurrection. We're staying with the gifts of the Spirit. We're staying with this is the entire body of Christ, and everybody's important here. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has an anointing. Everybody has the power of God in their life. This isn't a Jim Crab show. This isn't about, he's wonderful. Let's all worship the pastor. God forbid. But God help us stay true and straight and strong for the glory of God. Somebody shout amen. Let's all stand up this morning. Praise God.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crab and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.